is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a wonderful day. It's always a wonderful day when you're going to be listening to the Word of God. You know, I strongly believe in the King James Bible. It is the pure Word of God. A lot of people ask me, where did the Bible come from? They want to know the mechanics. They want to make sure that it really is the Word of God and not just men's translations. Well, the confusion comes today because there are so many false Bibles, false translations. And we're going to begin a series next week talking again about the King James Bible. It's so very vital. You know, there's a new Bible version over in Great Britain today that has come out now, and it's been approved by the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, he's the head of the Church of England, the Anglican Church. He has approved this new Bible version. And yet, in this Bible version, the Apostle Paul tells people, single people, that if they are single, it would be good for them to regularly have sex with other single people outside of marriage. Otherwise, Paul says, you'll get frustrated. The Apostle Paul telling single people, go out and have sex outside of marriage. It's good for you. You don't want to become frustrated, do you? But we know the King James Bible says very clearly, Paul says, do not have sex outside of marriage. And it's better to marry. It's better to marry than to burn in hell. But now, what a big difference. One says, it's good to go out and have sex out of marriage. Don't get frustrated. The other Bible's version says, which is the King James Version, says if you're going to have sex with people, you better get married. Otherwise, you're going to burn in hell. Now, friends, when they first began these new Bible versions, they said, oh, all we're doing is trying to correct. We don't like the old English. We're just trying to update and make them modern. You know, the these and the thys and the thines. We're just going to take those out and make it more modern. But that wasn't the devil's true intent. And now we see we have the Fornicator's Bible over in Great Britain. There are Bible versions now that are taking out any wording that reflects negatively on the Jews. They're having to take out a good 25% of the New Testament because they don't want to offend today's Jewish people. Isn't that weird? They don't mind these people offending God, but we just don't want to offend Jews. Then there are those that are actually taking out verses from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, where it talks about what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. They say, we don't want to offend homosexuals. So let's take out the account in Sodom and Gomorrah of what happened there. Or let's change it. For example, God won't be angry because they were demanding homosexual sex with those angels. We'll have it that he was only angry because they were not hospitable. Didn't have good manners. It was okay to have sex with angels, but they should have had good manners about it. They shouldn't be beating on the door demanding those angels to come out and have sex with them. They should have just knocked on the door real nice and invited them out to a party. A sex orgy. These are sicko translators. Sickos. They don't mind offending God, who wrote the Bible and by changing his words, his intent, his meaning. They don't want to offend homosexuals. That's why I believe in the King James Bible. And we're going to have a series talking about the power of God's Word. And believe me, the horror of the devil's word that is found in these false new Bible versions. Probably beginning next week. I hope we can start that series next week here on Bible Home Church. But today we're going to continue our series, The Mystery of 153 Fish. Now, if you have a prayer need, we'd love to hear from you. Now we're going to have our song for today. I Have Returned. Wonder what that's all about. I think you're going to find out very soon here. This is from the Gaither, Bill Gaither, Bill and Gloria Gaither's Mountain Homecoming album. I love those Gaither albums. Highly recommend them. I Have Returned. Now, right after this song, I'm going to return with today's message. And I believe it'll be the final segment. We'll complete the message, the mystery of the 153 fish. I think I might even have a couple of minutes left over after this message, if possible. Might be able to come back, have a few words for you, a personal message on something that's come up here in the ministry. Hope I have time to talk about it this week. If not, of course, we'll just continue to next week. So at this time, I have returned a beautiful melody for you. Then my message for today, the conclusion of the series, Mystery of 153 Fish, possibly followed by another short message. So here is our song.
I have returned to the God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comforts of home and the God I outgrew.
I have returned to the God of my childhood, and learned and faith, the prophet Messiah. He sees us to me, eternal.
I have returned to the God of my fathers, the most godlike man a child ever knew. And I just heard a sob from the angels in glory, praising the Lord. The time has come. And I've heard
as I walk my way homeward, the Savior of all is the comfort to man.
I return to the bottom of Abraham, the shepherd of Moses, who called him the great I am. He sees us to be eternal.
The Bible, and what is the first book? It is Genesis, the beginning. Jesus was with God from the beginning. Jesus, too, is number one. And friends, don't forget it. God is the basis, the creator, the foundation of all things. He and His Son and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. They're first. He's the Alpha, the beginning, and the ending, which is the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega. God. And so, we have to understand that the number one, then, is God's number. It's the beginning of all things. The beginning of all things. Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. But listen, not only Jesus, but you too are one with God, if you know Him. What did He pray in John chapter 17, verses 21 and 22? Listen to what Jesus prayed. He said, to the Father, He prayed that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, are in me, and I in Thee, that they may be one in us. Wow. That number one has to do with you and your destiny. You are one with Jesus, just as He is one with the Father. And Jesus goes on to say, He prays to the Father, and the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. You don't deserve any glory, friends, but God has given it to you anyway. You don't deserve to be a friend of Jesus, but Jesus says, you're my friend. Why does Jesus do this? He answers the question, that they may be one even as we are one. The word one means unity. Unity with God. The beginning, the creator, the foundation, and you can be one with Him. Oh, my friends. Some say, well, now wait. That only has to do with a certain kind of people because, you know, there's God's chosen people, the Jews, and then there are the Gentiles, and we get into all that false doctrine. Listen, I want to read to you what Jesus, what He gave Paul in the Bible. For He is our peace, who hath made both, that is Jew and Gentile, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in Himself of the twain, that is Jew and Gentile, the two, one new man, so making peace. Friend, there's no such thing as a Jew or a Gentile in Jesus. We're all God's chosen. We're one in Him. In Him. Isn't that an amazing thing? Here, Paul says then in Ephesians 4, verse 3, that we're to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's the way God has created us. The Lord God had only one Son. And he only has one body. He doesn't have many bodies. We're all one in him. Friends, there is true unity in the Spirit of God. Galatians 3 verse 20 says, but a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Wow. Genesis, did you know Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. Boy, talk about one. In the beginning, God. That's chapter 1 verse 1. So we start in this number 153 with God and his unity with his people. Now we get to number 5. What is 5? Ed Below in Biblical Mathematics says very clearly, and it's correct, that 5 is the number of God's grace, God's goodness, God's love. Did you know there were 5 offerings upon the altar of sacrifice? The first 5 books are called the Pentateuch. They're the foundation of Scripture. 5 means the grace of God, the goodness of God. There are 5 ministries through which God's grace is revealed. 5 ministries, Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Are you one of those? I believe you are. Did you know that the Psalms contains 5 books? Did you know that there were 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins? Did you know that Jesus fed the multitudes, 5,000 of them, with 5 loaves? Wow. Did you know there are 5 women mentioned in the genealogy of Christ in Matthew 1? Rahab, Ruth, Tamar, Bathsheba, and Mary. All had experienced the grace of God in their lives. Did you know the Apostle John wrote 5 books that revealed the grace of God toward believers? Did you know there are 5 things a Christian is told to remember? What you're saved from, those who suffer, those who rule over you, truth, and what to do when you backslide. And all of this, by the way, Ed Below has in his book, Biblical Mathematics. You may want to get that. Did you know the word grace is used 5 times in succession in Romans chapter 11, verse 5 and 6? It's not found again in that chapter. Is there a significance in this? Did you know that the Apostle Peter addressed his epistle, the Epistle of Peter, to the saints scattered in 5 countries? And he mentions 5 doctrines, and each one is followed by the word grace? Is that just some kind of accident? Did you know that Isaiah spoke of 5 names by which Christ was to be called? Christ has 5 names. What are they? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 5. The goodness of God. How he reaches out to his children. Then we come to number 3. What does the number 3 mean? It means resurrection. Divine completeness. Perfection. Did you know there are 3 in heaven? And these 3 are 1. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The 4 living creatures chant, holy, 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 before the throne of God. Did you know that Jesus preached 3 prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane? And after Peter had denied Christ 3 times, the Lord told Peter 3 times in succession, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And remember here in John 21, when they caught these fish, he came and said, come and let us eat. Wow. Come and let us eat. Friends, listen to me. There's a reason for the number 153. 153. Jesus said, destroy this temple, he said to the Jews, and in 3 days I will raise it up. 3 days. The number 3 stands for the resurrection of body. Matthew 12, verse 40 says, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so, that's the sea beast, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. 3, 1, 5, 3. The resurrection. Friends, listen to me very carefully. Jesus Christ is your resurrection. He will raise you up. Jesus Christ told the Jews, why do you not believe what I tell you? The works I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. My sheep, that is his fish too, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. No man shall take them from me. My Father gave them to me, and no one can take them from him. I and the Father are one. This has spiritual significance. Many people ask today, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Did you know that that's a prophecy when people start to ask, oh, come on. I don't think Jesus is coming back. I don't think He's going to catch His people up. I don't even believe that nonsense. They are simply bringing prophecy to pass. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 said that's exactly what many would be saying. Mocking men in the last days. Hey, I've always heard that junk. Ah, you're just crying wolf. He's not coming back. And Peter said these people are willingly ignorant. God will keep His word. There will be a resurrection. Friends, I'm telling you, He's coming. And if you die before He comes, you don't worry about a thing. He knows how to resurrect you. He knows how to raise you up. I like that old song. He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got the little bitty baby. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister, in His hand. Listen, 153 is your number. Here it is. In the beginning, God. Yes, it begins with God and His unity through number 5, which is His goodness and His love and His grace for you. And number 3 has to do with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the operation of the Holy Spirit. They will protect you. That's why in my dream I was protected. I was protected. You say, what am I going to do in the last days as this police state grows and envelops all of us? We're like fish in the sea. Ah, they're watching all of us. I want you to understand, my friends, there are millions, billions of fish in the sea. But Jesus chose 153. Only 153 out of all the fish. But it was just enough. It filled up the net. And they drug in the net. And guess what? Not one was lost. Now, there are many evil things in the sea. Recently, a story of a young surfer girl and a shark came up and bit off her arm. Many people have lost their lives in the depth of the sea. And friends, you go down into the sea of this earth, and listen, that means your everyday life even, without God's strength, you're going to be devoured. Jonah told God no. And you know what happened to him? He ended up in the very belly of the beast. He was there 3 days. And God made the beast spit him up. Now listen, my friends. The beast thinks it's going to have you in the last days. The beast has another thing coming. The men who worship the beast and admire his image, Revelation 13, they believe they can capture you and destroy your work for God in the last days. They're wrong. The beast had Jonah and God made him cough him up. But that was because Jonah said no to God. And you know what God did to him? He made that great sea beast, that whale, that serpentine leviathan creature, cough him up right where God wanted him. He was sent to Nineveh to preach to people he didn't even like. He hated them. He said, no, I'm not going to go. So God just put him down there in the belly of that whale and coughed him up. And there he was, ended up in Nineveh preaching. Friends, listen to me. Don't be like Jonah. You get on your knees today and you ask God, what would you have me do in these last days? And listen to me. He will protect you. 153. You're one of the 153. If you're one of the 153, guess what? You're of Christ Jesus. You're not Christ. You're not God, but you belong to Him. You're His body. He's the head. You're one of the living stones. He's the cornerstone. And He will raise you up. It doesn't matter what men can do to you. They have no power over you. You just do what God tells you to do. Do the right thing. God will show you how to do it. He'll give you the resources to do it. He will guide you in doing it. He will protect you in doing it. And the net doesn't break. Everyone whom God calls. Out of all the billions on earth, only the few find the way. But God knows every one of you. He has numbered you. Everyone is numbered by God, and He knows what your number is. Well, friends, I hope you've enjoyed this series, The Mystery of the 153 Fish. I've certainly enjoyed discussing this with you and examining the Word of God. Now, if you're one of the 153 fish, and I pray that you are, then there's one thing you've got to do. Recently, I gave a sermon entitled In Search of Iron Men. I know God is looking for iron men today. And I want to encourage you to be that iron man. Now, the Bible in Revelation talks about the beast, and Daniel describes him as the fourth beast, the last day's beast of prophecy that has the iron teeth, and he devours the whole world. Well, God is also looking for a different type of creature, which is someone to fight that beast with the iron teeth. And you know, you've got to be a person of iron yourself. It's so interesting to me that some people say, you know, I would like to, but I'm so afraid of what men may say about me if I really stand up for Jesus Christ today. If I really stand up to the world. Well, the Bible tells you, my friends, that we're at enmity with the world. You're at war with the world. And it says that anyone who is a friend of the world's is the enemy of God. Wow. It also says in the Bible that we are not to give that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Oh, friends, we've got to be iron men with hearts of love toward God and give that which is holy only to God and not to the dogs, which is the world. Well, this is Tex Mars, and this has been Bible Home Church. I pray it's been a blessing to you, and I'll see you next week.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.